Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Romp past your mom that's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything that make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom. And always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more. And then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue Rebellion's Bloom, our watch of the third and final season of The Bad Batch. This week is season 3, episode 12, titled Juggernaut. And quite the juggernaut of an episode. I'm Colton Robertson. I'm joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. We got a simple one this week. This is, you know, compared to last week, I don't know, you know, we can't expound upon the theories we've been building. I don't feel like, not much. It's just another step in the right direction. How are you feeling?
Yeah, only, I feel like one little detail that was dropped, and that's basically it. But at least more refined. At least I think we know what direction we're heading in more now, instead of it being so vague. But I really, really enjoyed this episode. You know, not a double feature like last week, so it is kind of not nice to return to one episode. But it was nice just to have a one and done in the morning, and I don't know, looked good. This is the first time I've had the movie mode on my TV, just on for this as well. I don't know if that's the move, but I did, and it looks good, so I liked it.
Yeah, no, I mean, this it was beautifully animated. The action was really cool. We got the return of Fee, the official return of Fee. She's been around a little bit, tiny little spots, but she's in this episode, and that was nice. We got an even grander and more long-term return with Admiral Rampart here.
Why did he get arrested in the first place? What happened in his arc before? That's how long it's been, honestly.
I believe that he, I mean, I think this was season one.
He like let them go or something like that, and then the Empire found out, and then
it was,
you know,
nothing that was friendly to the Bad Batch. It was the Empire fucking him over for being the, like, they're the Empire. So, like, I think it was, I can't recall off the top of my head. I feel like it was a, you know too much, you've seen too much. I feel like he might have destroyed Topoka City outside of their authority. I think that might have just been something he decided to do. I can't recall off the top of my head exactly why he ended up in an Imperial labor camp. Didn't he kill a fellow officer at some point? Remember when he shoots a guy and he like falls over the edge of a
He's in Ryloth, I guess. Kamino's Traitors, Fate of Kamino, dealing with Wilco, stationed on Coruscant. Arrest.
He was arrested because the Senate, it was like one of the last things the Senate was kind of capable of doing. It was for destroying Topoka City. The Empire used him as a scapegoat, and the Senate had him arrested.
Was it Kamino they blamed on him? Okay.
Yeah. That's when Ryo Chuchi gets in the mix and she kind of spearheads the, you know, the arrest of him. So Omega's there. She's on like the Senate floor. She's like, she like looks through, she sees it happen, you know, that whole thing.
I need to rewatch the earlier seasons, man. I was just kind of waiting for the show to be over so then I could just get it all in one go. But kind of, not gonna lie, the Imperial men here Rampart and whoever was running this base.
The beards, they work.
It looked good. Yeah, this is like the first time I think they made the Imperial dudes just kind of look attractive. Because usually they kind of give them something. They give them something to make them like an undesirable human because they're Empire. Either they're dorky or, I don't know, something. But no, this dude just kind of seemed, I don't know, just the most normal kind of Empire guy I could think of.
Normal looking, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a while.
There was nothing to this guy, though. That's what I mean. Like,
he was just holding it down. He was trying to hold down the base. The base gets overrun. Well, fuck, you know. I liked the beard's working for Rampart. The messy hair's working for Rampart. I loved that. He's got the disheveled look on Rampart's a good one. I did enjoy that a great deal.
Man, and some just great voice acting as well. Like, I think he just, his, like, whenever he, I don't know, they're just going back and forth, and Crosshair's the one to say, like, you're not in any position to whatever.
Make demands.
And he's like, oh, well, I believe I am, or something. I don't know. His deliveries, I thought, was really nice, but, man, I'm just a sucker for some Jimmy Simpson. Is that his name?
With Hemlock.
Man, I just I don't know. I'm a sucker for Hemlock. Anyways, I'm locked in whenever he's on screen. No pun intended there. But I love just the voice acting here. It just feels so like every person knows their character so well, and there's even facial reactions. There's like sighs. There's I don't know, things that I feel like don't happen in normal other. Just animated shows. I don't want to put, like, just because it's animated, to put it down on a level, but just the other animated shows we got, like, it feels like there's more into each of their personalities. Like, there's more thought, it seems to me. Or just, like, Emery, after Hemlock leaves, that little moment we get to sit with her and focus on her sighing and feeling bad about what she did. Oh, man, there was one other one that stood out to me that was kind of just where it let us just sit with the person. Maybe it'll come up naturally when we talk about other things, but...
I agree with the voice acting take. It was definitely... We got some really good performances this week. Rampart's return brought back Noshir Dalal, who plays Bode Akuna. In Jedi Survivor, the new Jedi game, he's like Cal's friend who turns out to be not his friend. That guy's Bode is actually modeled after the voice actor too. He looks like him. That's the voice actor who plays Rampart. And he does a fantastic job. He's absolutely wonderful. And Rampart's one of those interesting characters where it'd been a really long time, obviously, since we last saw him, but he reminds me of a simpler time in Bad Bat in a Star Wars timeline. You know, like, it's just like it's been a while since we've seen him, and I remember like being excited for Mando season 3. It was like pre-season 3 is the last time we saw him, and it was pre-Ahsoka. It was all this, so it was just I was like, man, he really reminds me of Bad Batch season 1 when he was the antagonist, and it was nice to see him. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I remembered him being a big part. I just didn't remember all the little details of his story and little things that happened. And then his arrest was the one thing that, like, kind of got to me. I'm like, man, how do I not know what he got arrested for? And it's probably because he wasn't at fault for Kamino. The Empire was, and he was just the scapegoat. So I mean,
he was at fault for Kamino. He commanded the bombardment of Kamino, but they framed it as all on him. So,
but, like, did he make the decision?
He needs some accountability for sure.
I'm glad he went down, and I'm glad he is in this whatever the fuck, you know, kind of work prison, wherever he's working. Just sucks. At least he's getting a taste of his own medicine now. You know, it's here's the Empire for you. You know, even if you're
loyal. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It don't matter.
You're loyal. You do what you're told. You'll still get fucked. And I think that was one of my favorite things about Rampart getting locked away is that it was like one of those things where it was deserved, but it was also framing the Empire as a greater evil, all the while still giving this guy his comeuppance. So, like, it was an interesting choice to take, and I really appreciated it. And seeing his return where he's still a scummy, slimy little fuck was very, very nice.
What do you think they're planning to do with him? Do you think they have kind of an arc where he realizes how shitty the Empire is, and he's like, damn, man, I have been wrong? Do you think we get that, or do you think he kind of remains his, I'm going to be selfish and have the best, you know, just do whatever is best for me for the rest of
it? I don't know. There's kind of a 50-50 there when it comes to, like, the history of this sort of character archetype. It's like, it could either be
Fulcrum.
Like,
look who became Fulcrum.
Yes. I don't see Rampart doing that degree of a flip. For it would be either he looks out for himself, he's selfish, he has no love for the Empire, but he doesn't have any love for anybody else anymore. That could be one. The other option is that he is trying to get back in the Empire's good graces, which could be a problem.
Okay. He's like, this is my way back in if I give them the Bad Batch.
Exactly.
Possibly. I see that. Because the only reason I bring up maybe a flip is because whenever he's working down there, he's like, man, the bell should have rung by now. Like, we should have been off by now. You know, he's getting kind of fed up. Like, I think they're showing him fed up with his current situation. And when he gets in the transport, you know, maybe that was the other one. It's just whenever he gets in the transport and he's all just, you know, very defeated. He realizes his, like, situation, you know, sort of thing. Whenever they're about to just take him to his cell, I don't know, or prisoner block. I guess I don't know where they were going. They didn't show the final destination, which I don't think matters. I was trying to think if that would come back at all. But I think that planet's pretty done. I don't think we return there.
Yeah, no, I doubt it. Yeah, I mean, I appreciated the take that this had on, like, forced labor. It felt like, you know, even when they freed, when they're like, when they get Rampart and they're like, fucking Wrecker's like, well, what about the rest of these guys? You know, it's, you know, there isn't a, like, we plan on getting out of here. We can't kill these guys, but, and they're not free, you know, like, they're still on the planet.
They didn't even take their handcuffs off, which, I mean, you know, time was of the essence, you know, that this isn't their mission. Let them fend for themselves, you know, I think that's the best thing they could have done, is just let them free. Also, work to a distraction for them, you know, they were like, all right, that'll buy us some time or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Wrecker says, and that's what the Empire focuses on, I guess, but then it's kind of very clear whenever they're charging straight at, you know, the bridge with the juggernaut firing. Yeah, very clear who they're fighting against.
Who needs to be the focus, yeah.
But, no, I thought it at least nice to include it in the episode. Just it could have just been Rampart and that transport, and that's it, and then they could have got him out or whatever, but they filled it up with others, and they freed him.
Yeah, that other transport that they, like, destroy and roll over the top of, Nobody in there, right? There's nothing going on there.
I guess I kind of assumed this was kind of like we're in battle mode now, so these are all troopers in there, you know, sort of thing. Like, we're using this not as a prisoner transport, we're using this as a retaliation, you know, where we are. But yeah, I guess...
They had a new task given to them. Amidst this whole thing. Now, they didn't blow that thing up, and it was a strong, right? Or
no, because they used it as a ramp.
They used it as a ramp, which was dope. Very cool part of the episode.
Everyone in there is still good.
They're fine.
You know?
They're fine.
Just a little nap. They'll be taking a little nap for a while,
hit
maybe.
Hit their head
maybe
a little bit. But yeah, no, that the whole trying to get Rampart back was definitely sort of a classic Bad Batch mission, and I appreciated it because, I mean, earlier in this season, I liked the one-off episode where Hunter and Wrecker found the kids, and they, you know, like, had to fight the jungle sort of thing when they were looking for Tantus and stuff. I like the one-off we're looking for Tantus episodes, and I feel like I get why we haven't been doing that. We haven't had a lot of time, but I liked that we got another. That was kind of something I was looking forward to this season, and then it very quickly got taken away from us when Omega and Crosshair escaped earlier, which, hey, cool. But now that they're back, it's at least this one episode, probably another before they're actually there.
And I guess not much of an argument. Kind of, it was brought up, you know, I think Wrecker was the one to even say, like, I can't believe you let Omega leave on her own, you know, and Hunter kind of, you know, agreed, but he wasn't like, yeah, Crosshair, what the, you know, I kind of expected it to blow up a little bit more, but they, you know, I think they were just kind of like, well, we need to go, you know, like, we need to find her, what are we going to do,
And there's an interesting thing here, too, where it's just kind of like Hunter must understand that since the transports are going up, that they have Omega, that they got Omega. It's not like he gets informed of that.
And I think it might have been off screen. I think they did link up, and then he went back out to check what was going on. Because it seemed he kind of reported that.
Yeah,
and then because I guess I would have really liked to see that first interaction they had. I felt like they were leaving it, like last episode, it felt like they were leaving it in that way on purpose, but that's all right. You know, I guess I'm going to have gripes with the show. It's not going to have to go exactly how I think it should go.
No. And I mean, like, it's a small gripe, but it is one that was an interesting little kind of breeze over a difficult conversation that I think could have been good. Because I don't know. I feel like Crosshair's made enough development in this season to be a bit distraught. Over this,
and Wrecker was just knocked out. Like, he just got back to being fine. Like, I thought, I don't know, we'd get like a little like, hey, like, you good? And then like maybe while Wrecker was being briefed, that's when details pop up and Hunter and Crosshair go at it. I don't know. Like, I was just, none of that was there at all. Wrecker was just already awake.
What is cool about this is that it implies Hunter understands what had to happen. I appreciated Crosshair's explanation. It was the heroic thing to do, you know? He's like, they were going to destroy the entire city, and she saved them from that, you know? And there's not really an argument against that, you know? I think Hunter kind of does have to accept that. And so does Wrecker, as he immediately does. But one of the more interesting things.
Maybe their argument already happened this season. You know, on that ice planet where they went on that outpost and got that info. And, you know, I think Hunter was almost going to die, you know, by the animal. Crosshair pulled him out, and it was kind of there like,
we're cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe it was that simple and we don't need more blow up. But it seemed like it, I guess, last episode. It seemed that there's still some tension between them and maybe we were reading into the jealousy of, you know, who had the attention of Omega too much at the time. Like, I think that's maybe what it sparked from is that Crosshair was getting more one-on-one, or it seemed that she was liking Crosshair a little bit more. But maybe it's just happening off camera. We're just not seeing it. Like, I don't think Omega hates Omega Omega's not talking to, like, Hunter anymore.
No. And I've never really thought that was the case. It's just there was that obvious tension earlier in the season, and it felt like it wasn't quite solved. Like, we took a good step towards it, but it wasn't fully fleshed out. But I mean, like, with the time we have left, I don't think we have time to really dwell on it anymore. I think this episode was the episode to have that if it was going to happen. So, like, that's cool.
Damn. 3 episodes left. Are they all 1-1-1? Is that,
yes,
is that
no double
goes?
Episodes
okay, yeah.
left. We are
1-1-1.
One a okay. week for the rest of the ride, and man, yeah, it was a goodie. I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a solid one. Definitely a little bit of a respite after the last few weeks being quite intense. I appreciated that. It's always funny. There's like this thing that happens with the Star Wars promo, the official Star Wars promo of the Bad Batch, and the Kiner and Jennifer Corbett tweets, where on the weeks where it's intense, the Star Wars promo is really lax, and the tweets justly give it the flair it needs. And then this week, the Star Wars promo for this was fucking baller and wildly tense. And the Kiner tweets were very, very lax.
Bad. Is that what it said? It's getting bad. It said bad on the screen, I remember. And I don't remember what it said before because I was just focusing on all the visuals that we were getting. But I remember it just bad. Oh, Bad Batch. Yeah. I guess it could have. Oh my God. Hello. Yeah. I thought they were trying to like say like it's going to get bad. I thought like it was the end of something, but then now it just hit me like, oh, I'm watching
the Bad Batch. Yeah, no, but there was a part of that little promo that it was for the last four episodes. So they got away, you know, like it's not just for this episode. There's a couple of things in that promo that do not happen this week that look fucking fire. There's a moment whenever someone I think it sounds like Rex tells Hunter to abort the mission, and he goes, no. And it's just so fucking pimp, and I'm not even sure that those are actually happening at the same time, you know? It could just be cut together like that. But, like, that part of the promo got me fucking wilding, dude. I was
at least the way Hunter delivered that line, no matter what's happening there,
he's in. Yeah, like, it's...
It's something for Omega. It has to be like,
no.
I don't know. I like there was that. There was if we all go in there, we're all not making it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God damn it. You know, obviously we knew we're going to get some deaths, you know, it's going to happen. But that line just makes it a little ultra clear. Was it in the episode or was it in the... this breakdown, the shot of the cruiser just over Pabu,
that
just
was
like
in this
chilling
one.
There and then the tower. Oh, it was. Oh, that one made me not feel good. That shot, like it, I don't know. I think it's if they return to that shot, there's only one reason they return to that wide of a shot with a cruiser in the air and then the island right there and it's going bye bye, but, the tower looks too much like the Scarif Tower, man, or the island of Pabu looks too much like the tower. And I don't want to just say it's 100%, but man, I think
there was something I noticed this week about the like literal shape of Pabu that I don't know why it's never really clicked with me. It looks a lot like Tantus. Like specifically the mountain that they are doing shit inside of. Now, I don't think there's any connection. I think they really just might be paralleling the purity of Pabu versus the industrial villainy of the Empire on Mount Tantus. I think that's all it is. But I never really noticed the just sort of hill-like structure they've got going on. I mean, obviously, mountain versus
it's
island,
like
but
the initial rock, and then there is kind of like a divide, like Tantus has, where they and then they're like home start, whatever. Okay, and all to protect, like they're protecting from the jungle, you know, from all the monsters outside at Tantus, but then they're just protecting against the ocean at Pabu.
And I don't think that's there's some connection between... No, I think it is just like
it's the same planet.
No, it's a visual choice. It's just a visual choice.
That'd be kind of epic, though. They're like, no one knows the coordinates to Tantus. I thought they were going, like, for a second there, I thought they were going, it's in the fucking Thrawn universe type shit. Oh. You know, like, this is... We're in the other galaxy, and I'm like, okay, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad that it was... it's just that thought hit me whenever they're like, no one knows the coordinates to Tantus. And I'm like,
nobody knows the coordinates for Exegol or Octu. That's stuff you have to like hunt. You know, there's So maybe it is some sort of wayfinder situation.
I could see that, and that's how the transition to Exegol. Well,
I don't think Exegol it is Exegol. Yeah, I don't think it is Exegol.
Well, I'm saying their base, their headquarters is Tantus now, and then maybe Tantus just gets fucked by this rebellion or whatever, and they need to go remove all their scientific research to Exegol. You know, it's their next, even safer Sith base. But right now, maybe that's what the Red... that'd be kind of cool. Because what did it just track Exegol? You know, I guess we don't know how those work.
Not
at all.
Strictly. They're navigators, essentially. I don't think it's like tracking Exegol. It's like a map. It's just a physical three-dimensional map.
It
like
tells you.
Yeah, it shows you the way.
Everywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so I'm interested to see what that'll come to. But that's just kind of, it's a real simple one, man. There isn't much to go on here. I thought
I took down the Hemlock quote, and there's like nothing in there other than the very, I think the last line of him just saying, "You're a vital piece of our work here." Omega's asking, who are these three children? And Hemlock responds, "They are the rest of the puzzle, and this is your new home." I think it's like they are trying to make a Jedi army. Here's three, you know, we have Omega, we have three Force sensitives. Let's clone as many of these Force sensitives as we can. Just Omega's the glue. And then here's the M-count specimens, you know.
I think they're trying to set a precedent for being capable of cloning Force sensitivity. I don't think they have interest in cloning a Force sensitive army. I don't think that's something Palpatine wants. I think Palpatine wants a Force-sensitive clone of himself. Maybe they could be going towards Force-sensitive army thing. It's clear that that was... Because Moff Gideon and Mandalorian, it seems like that's what he's trying to do. But that didn't seem like it was a wider goal of the Empire prior. Like, he seemed like an outlier. People were kind of like, "Oh, this fucking weirdo Moff Gideon," sort of. You know, like, he was powerful and he was respected, but it was still like, he's up to weird shit over there. I don't know what the fuck he's on about. You know, like, that's...
Yeah, and that is down the line, I guess. You know, that maybe he's picking up old research.
Yeah,
you know,
could be.
Like, picking up where Hemlock... And everyone left off, like, now that actually kind of makes sense. Like, Pershing and where'd all this research come from? Where do they get all this stuff? This is where they would be getting it.
This is a direct tie to the storyline that's happening at that time, as they literally refer to it as Project Necromancer in that show as well. So, like, it's the same project. It's just a different...
Yeah. Obviously, Palpatine's main goal is to have a Force-sensitive clone for himself. But I don't think the Empire stops at what, you know, when they get what they want, they stop. I think, like, any and all benefits they can get, if an army is possible, maybe Palpatine, you know, that goes against what Palpatine would want, because then there's more competition for him, and he, you know, I don't know, maybe that's not a good thing. But for Hemlock and for the Empire, they would definitely be like, yeah, well, I guess Palpatine runs that shit. So it's not like...
They're not a
separate
entity.
If Palpatine says no,
yeah,
it's no.
Yeah,
but...
And what's happening on Tantus has been clear as being secret enough to just be Palpatine. Like, Hemlock sunned Tarkin a couple episodes ago. He was like, "Sorry, Tarkin, can't talk about it. You can't know about it." Like, that's a... If it's an army thing, Tarkin knows about that shit. You know, like...
That's fair. That's fair. Hemlock is just scientific. It's just research.
Yeah.
That's all he does. No army, no none of that. Okay. I'm behind that now.
Yeah, that was kind of where my head's at. Because, like, I mean, just on the principle of, like, the Sith and the power the power angle of it, like I just think that Palpatine, he wiped out all the Jedi to prevent a valid concern for him. I doubt he would, because like also the clones have proven to be some loyal, some not. You can't guarantee that just because you clone them and put an inhibitor chip in them that they will remain loyal. You know, like there's just too many unknowns, I think.
This is crazy. I don't take much belief into this, but I'm throwing it out there. They killed all the Jedi. The light has seen a massive drop, you know. And if there's a balance there, it is crazily out of balance right now.
Yeah, yeah, no,
and
100%.
Maybe in doing that, since there is so much less light, like, it counterbalances itself. So, like, maybe Palpatine isn't as powerful as he once was before, because there is just so much less light. So he can't, I don't know if that's a dynamic of the Force, but maybe he's like, he just wants more power, and he realizes that there needs to be more Force users for that to happen. So he just creates them, but doesn't let them go. You know, maybe just creating as many as possible, keeping them in a cell or whatever. Maybe these are the bodies in the caskets that are sent off to the other universe that we see in Ahsoka. They've just been pumping them out, Force sensitives to increase the Force in the universe so that Palpatine can get stronger and stronger and stronger, just not by like sucking their life force or whatever, by just literally them introducing existing. New Force sensitive life. Yeah, I don't, that's crazy complicated for them to like try to explain in three. Maybe they could.
No, I mean, like, you're also talking about something that's pretty long term. If it's gonna tie to Ahsoka, like, if the farthest it will go in this show as far as confirmation towards that theory is if we get confirmation that the fucking caskets we see in Ahsoka are these caskets. They do share a resemblance and they seem like a similar thing, like, I don't think we'd get, like, a full explanation of what they are and why we're doing it and how it's going to happen and all that, because that's still ongoing. There's all sorts of stuff that, like, when it comes to doing this connected universe thing, it's very difficult to decide what is most important to each thing. Like, that reveal is an Ahsoka reveal to me. Right now, yeah. The big concern for Tantus is Omega saving the clones, that side of the story. I think that, like, more than anything, what we're getting on the Force side of things this season is more to tie in with the later stuff with Project Necromancer. I mean, and I don't know, I'll happily invite getting, like, thorough, more, like, oh, that's what's happening. Like, that would be very
cool. But we need to solve our stuff here first.
Like, I think that's... like it. But, I mean, like, Omega's very clearly important. So, like, that's the other thing, is that, like, it is important to the Bad Batch. It's not like that's not an important part of the show. It's a very important part. I just think that, like, where the show's priorities may lie is with that side of things.
Because I'm just trying to have any possibility in which Pabu does not become Scarif. And Pabu does go away. Send the planet. Send the whole planet to the other galaxy, you know? Just go. So it is not found somehow. Yeah, I don't know. Make a big-ass ring somehow. It's possible. I don't know.
I kind of took what they do in Ahsoka to be the first time they can do that of their own accord.
But there could be some natural way. That doesn't take technology. The Purrgil,
maybe they just,
a massive Purrgil swallows Pabu, takes it on over, Purrgil. Poops it out, you know, easy. There we go.
Simple enough. No, yeah, it's, regardless, I think we're clearly barreling towards like some pretty big stuff in these last three episodes. I mean, I know it's only three episodes, but like where we're at, it almost feels like there's still three episodes, you know, like it's not like, we could be heading into two, you know, like, but like three full fucking episodes left. That's no joke. And this was a short one. This was a small episode compared to what we've been getting in the weeks past. So, like, who knows what run times we're looking at? Who knows how much story we've got left? But we're looking at least an hour of Bad Batch left, and a lot can happen in that time, you know. So I'm very excited.
You know, the first episode ever was like an hour and 20 minutes, right?
Hour and 15, like episode hour, one, yeah,
or
hour.
Like hour. What if they end? What if the last episode? What if episode 15? They're like, here you go.
I mean,
here's an hour episode.
That
hour
would
long
be
episode.
A really. I think that's a sound idea because there's 15 episodes this season.
Mm-hmm. Not 16.
Yeah,
like that.
The 15 and 16 are one episode, and that's why there's 15 episodes. You know, like I could see that. So like that wouldn't surprise me. I'm not gonna get my hopes up for like a 50-minute finale, but. I will not be surprised if that is the case, you know. I think they could bookend it with those bigger episodes. Yeah, no, we got a lot to go, and I'm excited to see how the show wraps up because I mean like I said, I think the priority is saving Omega and the clones on Tantus.
Oh yeah.
If we can get the revelations as to exactly what's going on with those caskets, I thought that's where we were heading. With Hemlock and Omega, when he said, like, we're going to the vault. I thought that was the vault we were going to. And then we were like, ah, it's the three kids. Okay, fine. You know, that was kind of...
That's what's more important. I don't know. The live people. Not the... The dead ones, I think, is just kind of source blood that they can draw if they need. But the live blood. Regenerated. Like, I think that's why these three are much, much... more important to them, I guess. But into the Reach next episode. I feel like this is just finding Tantus, locating Tantus. If I had to make a guess, it'll end with them arriving to Tantus next episode. And then 14 is the start of whatever's on Tantus. 15 is the end. Mm. I feel like once we get to 14, we're on Tantus and we're not leaving. I don't know. I feel like once we get back to Tantus, I feel like not much more can happen until it's over.
No, we're going like, Tantus and then a epilogue, whatever the like after Tantus couple minutes is, you know, like it's not, it won't be a super long time, but yeah, I'm with you. I think that,
I think Saj's that just we're gonna pull her saber out at some point. You know, we see that saber get pulled out and is. Did she? No, she did in the cave.
She fought
I guess
them
she
with
did.
Her
was
saber.
That the same shot? Was that the same shot?
I've had
in
that
the trailer,
thought.
Though?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Felt like she was, I mean, battling off a battalion's worth of gunfire, though, not just
three.
I don't know. In the trailer, it felt like. I mean, it was like in a jungle too. It felt like it was in a jungle. Like trees were behind her or something. It felt like it was.
I don't know.
Might
need to revisit
maybe,
the. Might need to revisit the trailer there because I don't really remember. I just kind of assumed it was already what happened. Yeah, I mean, like, if Asajj is actually working for the Path, if that is actually something she's doing, as we don't know, if she has any tie to that, then the reason she would come help on Tantus. Is not for the batch. It's for the three Force-sensitive kids who are in the vault.
I think she's also the Night Sister connection. If there is a connection to Ahsoka, she's the good side of it. She can be the person who explains what the fuck they're doing. You know, like if Night Sisters are already working on Project, I don't know. Maybe that's not part of the picture yet. Maybe Night Sisters are a later part of the game, and that's Thrawn. You know, he makes the deal with them. Seems even clearer in Tales of the Jedi that that's what happens, or Tales of the Empire, that that's what happens, actually. Mm-hmm. So maybe I will hold off on that, but I feel like if they do connect it to Ahsoka, which is what was said before the season even started, is this show connects everything. It connects the sequels. It connects Ahsoka. It connects Mando. It connects all the things. They're going to do that. You know, maybe Necromancer is enough, and we've already got all the connection, and that's all it is. I feel like there's something coming where it's going to be like, oh, that's what Palpatine's been doing. Like, that's what's been going on this whole time, you know, sort of thing. Like, while the Final Order was being built and all these battles, like, maybe they're just pumping out Force babies the whole fucking time. Like, and and maybe they're still there. Maybe like it's not, I don't know. Maybe that's their way of being like, it's not over. There's this zombie Jedi army that Rey will have to face. You know, it's not just, it's an undead army. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, I don't know.
We got undead troopers. Do we get undead Jedi?
That would be cool. That would be cool. That's the thing is that like, there's just stuff that within this show, I have a tough time with the scope of it. Like it's pretty grand. It's galaxy implicating, and I could see it taking it there. But the heart of the story is very intimate, and I feel like we're barreling towards an intimate finale. I do think that we've done enough to connect it to that stuff simply by dropping that they are working on Project Necromancer at this time. We don't need any revelations as to, like, we know what Project Necromancer is. We don't know the ins and outs of it, you know? We don't know that, like, your idea where they're like, we're doing this with a bunch of, we're cloning a bunch of Force Sensitives, that could be a thing, but I don't think they've done anything to give me any idea that that would be where they go. So, like, that's, I would invite some big sort of twist about Project Necromancer coming in the next few episodes, but I think that this show is going to focus on why Omega is important to it and why they need Omega to... I mean, like, do you think Palpatine shows up in the last three episodes? Do you think Palpatine's on Tantus here soon?
Mm-hmm. I think now that Omega's back, like, in Hemlock's confident, you know? Like, he's so confident. He's like, yeah, I'll show you the vault. You're not escaping again. Where's Nala Se? In a cell. She won't be helping you escape again. Here's your new home. Now you're in a cell, you know? Like, I think Hemlock is, he's like, nothing's going to happen. They're not coming back. We can't be touched. So, like, I think he tells Palpatine, like, hey, it's a go. Tests have been confirmed. We have everything we need. We just need you now. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess he is the only other piece of the puzzle. And having three Jedi, though, is what? Just redundancy, you know, or M count to stack up to Palpatine? They're going to take all three of these
kids, I think that these,
you know,
are the final like the idea that you had for them pumping out Force babies, I don't think that's necessary. I think they are going to try and clone these kids and match their M counts with Omega to see if they can replicate them as Force sensitives. I think that, like, that's why they're important, is because they are the test subjects. They are who will be getting, like, they are who will be getting turned into Force sensitive clones to see if that is if that's possible.
I see. So they'll test Omega with each of them, and if it's a success on all three of them, then they're like, okay, yes, we can clone you, Palpatine.
Yes.
Like, we can not just clone one Force sensitive, we are cloning all. You know, okay, I see that.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking that, like, at some point, they will not be alive anymore. Like,
no, and they won't.
Like, they had to be used for the process, you know, is that, I guess...
I'm willing to bet they create the clones, they test their Force sensitivity, and then those clones get fucking killed. Like, that's... Like, that's kind of the... At least, in my head, like, if you're the Empire... That's the test at this point, is seeing if you can replicate Force sensitivity. You have three Force sensitives. You have the binding agent. It's created, you know?
Okay. I will throw it out there. I have no idea how it connects, but I'm going to say that the monsters, creatures, and jungle has something in store for us on Tantus.
I'm sure it does.
Batcher, why all those animals were there. They're either keeping something out, or they're testing even more with creatures. Maybe they want to make Force-sensitive creatures too. I don't know. I don't. That's what I don't know where it leads. But I'm just saying that I think it'll come back in some way.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, I'd be willing to bet that when we get to Tantus, they're gonna have to get to Mount Tantus. They can't land on Mount Tantus. They're definitely gonna have to face down some creatures before they can get there. That's just a guarantee.
They turn the creatures on to Tantus, Hunter. Like, they. Like, it, they, that, okay, maybe that's, That's my bet. That's what when I hope
Batcher.
Happens.
That's when Batcher stops being a liability. He talks to his homies and is like, yeah, "Wake
he
up!"
He turns back. He gets
smell
up on
the
a hill.
Roses, motherfucker.
Yes. Like, he has his Timothy moment. He gets yes, up. Long yes, live the fighters! Every, yes. You know, and they charge
May
into
thy
fucking
knife
Tantus.
Chip and shatter. Yeah, he's standing up and he's letting the other little doggy guys know it's time to fucking ride.
It's
we're
happening.
Gonna wage.
It must happen.
We're gonna wage jihad against Mount Tantus.
The cavalry has arrived. It's not Vader. It's not them. Anyone we're thinking.
Yeah.
Batcher and the fucking animals,
yes.
Dude. Yeah,
that would be hype. I mean, like, and that would just like that's more feasible than any theory we've thrown out there because that is honest. At its heart what Star Wars
nature
has always
versus...
been about. Yes, nature versus the Imperial machine. Like that is ultimately what this stuff comes down to most of the time.
Maybe they go through all this effort and it's like, it's still not working. We have everything we need and it still doesn't work. What the fuck? And they're just like, what the fuck? What could we be doing wrong? But they're not thinking that it's like, it has to be natural. Like, you cannot force this. This is something you cannot force.
No, and I think that's what makes Omega special. I'm 100% of the mind at this point that she was not intentionally made this way. I think that Hemlock thinks she had a way. Maybe Nalase implies she had a way, but the Force is at its core a natural thing. Like, and millions and millions and millions of clones, the Force picked one clone, and that happened to be the clone that had a high midichlorian count. You know, like
maybe
that's...
Omega is to teach the Empire this lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, like it. And then you could say, well, the Force makes Omega, so then the Force has to then have Nala Say make Omega, so Nala Say is important. You know, like it goes back.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah. But the thing that we also know is that Snoke is made, and Snoke is Force sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh,
how
okay,
we...
I guess that was the other part of the quote that was not we knew this, but it was like... M-count cannot be directly replicated. Attempts have been made, but each time levels degraded. So we experimented. We tried various methods, mixing samples from our other test subjects. Nothing worked until we combined your sample with one of our M-count specimens. So it's nice to know that they've really just tried hodgepodging anything together to work. Like, they've just been like, fuck it. We're going to throw all the blood, everything. You are the only thing. Like, this is it.
One of my favorite... ideas that you've thrown out there, I believe a couple episodes back, is that they do have a breakthrough. Like, they do that by the end of the show, but the Batch and the Rebellion kind of ruins it all. I think that would be really cool because,
I hope so.
I mean, when it comes to the Mandalorian and Ahsoka and all that, like, we're basically in the same spot there as we are here, and Grogu is that to that section of the story. You
Grogu's
know? Like,
the Omega.
Yeah.
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 So, like, that's the other thing, is that, like, I think it's interesting. I don't know. I'm excited, though. And
yeah, because the future of Project Necromancer looks worse than it does right now. Like, Snoke does not look good. Like, I don't, like, everything that's involved with Project Necromancer in the future does not look like the 20 plus years of progress that they come from this point.
And I think it's really important that we end up on Exegol. I think it's really important that it doesn't end up just being science. It ends up being Sith magic. It ends up being darkness. It ends up being like that sort of thing. So I think that
they're exhausted trying, the science.
Yeah. I think that that's what we ultimately end up doing. But you know, like, we're not going to get there in these three episodes. I think it's just this part of it, you know? But,
all right.
I'm going to do the plugs real quick. If you would, head to patreon.com/pennybloompod where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, all sorts of book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and early access content. And for $1.50 a month, you can have access to all of it at pennybloompodcast or at patreon.com/pennybloompod. Head to Twitter, follow at pennybloompod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at pennybloompodcast. Remember to leave a 5-star rate and review wherever you might be listening, and download. We're on a little bit of a slow streak right now. We're in the week weak seasons of Game of Thrones. Our spotlights have never been truly popular, and neither is our Star Wars content. So just kind of in a lull of our least popular content, but we love covering it, so we're going to keep doing it anyway. So, you know, we've always said we're going to do this no matter how many people are listening, and I stand by that. But it would help. It makes me feel good. I wish it didn't make me feel good, but it does make me feel good when people download. Leave 5-star rate and review. Remember to just show us some love. I appreciate it. Go to YouTube. You can watch us there now. Look up Penny Bloom Podcast. Talk to us. Let us know if you have any questions, theories, especially about the Bad Batch. We've only got a couple weeks left. We would love to discuss those sorts of things with listeners. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any last thoughts here on the Bad Batch?
Let's see. I guess I didn't even. What Kiner tweet did we? Did we even get a Kiner tweet this week?
It was very. Yeah, they had one. It was just relating to the Juggernaut side of the episode, like the literal truck and
redacted. They love the redacted. Yeah, just in a truck and then in a rear view mirror.
Just a chase of some sort.
They redacted the wheels on the tank. Maybe just to show that they shot out the wheels. Okay. Yeah, but very.
Very
nothing
simple
that
ones
implied.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah.
I will say, I didn't realize how much the batch being at high heights affects me now. I was worried about Wrecker at the end of this episode. I was like,
I mean,
I was ready for it. I was like, this might be it. I was like, Tech died like this very suddenly. Didn't seem like one of those things where someone would die and then he just fucking died. So I was like,
and I'm like, for Rampart, I'm like, really, this dude's unconscious and you're throwing him and he's up there and we're about to lose Wrecker. Yeah, it did cross my mind, but
thank goodness
it didn't feel, you know,
thank goodness. Yeah,
he made it.
But
he made it.
Yeah, man, it was a good one, and I can't wait for next week. What's the title next week? Mm-hmm.
Into the Reach.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm with you there on what your theory was. I think that either by the end of next episode or the very beginning of 14, we are at Tantus. I think that that's a sound theory.
Into the Reach. It's just into like space is like the only thing that Halo. It sounds very Halo. I guess Halo Reach. But like, what else is the Reach? What's a Reach? In other context, I don't know.
The seat of the Baratheons.
Okay, so we're getting Game of Thrones crossover. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
They're going to head to the Reach and seek the help of, Highgarden. I think that's a good possibility.
Okay, so we'll. We're in a galaxy far, far away, and we know that the other galaxies exist now because of Ahsoka. That's what they're getting in. The Star Wars multiverse will start next week.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready.
And I mean, like,
anything and everything.
It's perfect timing, as next week we'll be reaching the Thrones finale, and, you know, Thrones finale next week, Star Wars Game of Thrones crossover we're covering next week as well. So, like, I think that that makes sense. I think that the universe is designed around us. So I think
it seems like it
sometimes.
Before we
part ways here today, I wanted to get music of the week in, and you felt comfortable doing the album of the week this week. How are you feeling?
I did. Oh man, was it a nice weekend of music? I listened to multiple albums. I could not stop at one, but I finally listened to Jimi Hendrix. For me, and the album, I guess if I had to pick one, the one that was my favorite would be Electric Ladyland, was the one that I went back to.
Fantastic album, dude. I love Electric Ladyland. Brilliant work that him and the Jimi Hendrix Experience do there.
I mean, I just, and then after I went through that, I just kind of had his essentials, kind of playing a lot just through the weekend as well. So I got a wide mix. And I loved, I don't know what song it came in, but there was one where the lead singer just kind of went, "And I'm just going to let Jimmy go," or something like that. He literally in the song. And it's like, "And now let's let Jimmy play." And he's like, "You know what I fucking mean," or something like that. And then he just goes on a solo. And I was just like,
nobody,
that's the shit I love the most.
Wailed on the guitar quite like Jimi Hendrix, bro. He's fucking insane with the guitar.
I don't know. I've heard good guitar solos. And like, it's not like I'm ignorant to them, but like he's like singing with the guitar almost,
right?
Like at some points, which is, I don't know, it was awesome. A new genre of rock that I haven't been, I don't know, I'm more classic rock and that I've listened to in my life.
Yeah,
but this
acid rock,
kind of
baby,
acid rock, a little bit different, definitely a different genre, and I'm digging it.
I love it.
But yeah,
I love it. It's one of my favorite genres of music, and Jimi Hendrix and the Jimi Hendrix Experience have always been some of my favorite artists and bands. I mean, I listened to it last night whenever you told me that that's what you've been listening to. So I was I just revisited it because I absolutely adore it. But that's a good one. I speaking of guitar solos, I went and saw Chapel Roan in concert this past Monday, up and coming pop star who is small enough to have a real intimate concert, but big enough to fill out a couple thousand capacity Midland Theater down in Kansas City. It was a beautiful show. The last couple concerts I've been to have been Taylor Swift and then Drake and J. Cole. So we're talking like mega, big, huge artists. It was so nice to get back to the Midland. I've seen, I saw Chance the Rapper there. I saw G-Eazy there. That was my first concert, funny
Hell
enough.
Yeah.
I saw Brockhampton there. I saw Tyler, the Creator there. So it's a beautiful venue. I absolutely adore that location. And it's the first concert I've ever been to where I felt like everyone there, you can't be a bigot and a Chapel Roan fan. It's not possible. as much as there can be as much love as possible at other concerts, you know, there's bigots at a Taylor Swift concert. You know, there's bigots at a J. Cole concert, as is exemplified by the last several days online. There's hateful people everywhere, but I felt no, like there couldn't have been anybody hateful there. It was just such a loving environment. I've never been around so many people that felt so dedicated and loving of this, of an artist. And it was really cool. She has a really sick band behind her, a bass player, a drummer and a guitarist. And dude, the guitarist could fucking wail. Like one of my favorite songs on the album is one of her more famous ones, is Pink Pony Club. And there's a guitar solo in it that's fucking, it's good. It's really good. And it's, you know, I'm not saying like it's Hendrix or it's, you know, Gary Clark Jr. or anything like that, but it's really, really strong. Like if you play the guitar well, you play the guitar well. And she sure as shit did. And seeing it live, I was just like, oh my fucking God, like watching people do that is insane. It was a beautiful show. Chapel Roan's a fantastic singer, and if you're not familiar with the Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, that was her album name. Strongly recommend you check it out. It was cool. The opener was a drag queen act. It was three drag queens. Minty Varieties, Ultraviolet, and Carmella. Those were and they're local drag queens. Only one of them was from St. Louis. The other two were from Kansas City, which was really cool. Every city Chapel goes to, her opening act is local drag queens, which is super fucking cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, like
that
it's
really cool.
No, yeah, it's a very cool concept. And so that was my music of the week experience, was the Chapel Roan concert. So
hell yeah. Good music. Good music is, I'm glad I'm getting back into it myself now.
Me too.
It is,
me too. It's a great pleasure. But yeah, I'll be we'll be back with another another couple albums of the week next week. Me and Joe are gonna start both giving one. It'll be fun. Yeah, so come back next week for more Bad Batch, Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13. Come back next Monday for Winter is Blooming, the Game of Thrones series finale next Monday. So very, very excited for that. And then we will cap off Winter is Blooming next Wednesday with a Game of Thrones 5x5. We're doing five sets of top fives, top five favorite main characters, top five favorite supporting characters, top five favorite duos, top five favorite performances, and top five favorite episodes. So all that will be next Wednesday. And yeah, with Game of Thrones ending, Bad Batch ending soon, we're about to enter a new era for the podcast where the next several weeks will be mostly movies. And I'm so very, very excited for that. But yeah, with that, I was Colton Robertson. I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom, and always praise the Bad Batch.